And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
In one of the strangest, most twisted quotes I have heard from a Christian organisation, the Salvation Army said Wednesday it'll join porn stars, strippers and pole dancers at an upcoming South African sex expo to promote Christian understanding of sexuality. If Jesus Christ was on earth today, he would be standing beside us at Sexpo, said the nearly 150-year-old group, famed for brass bands and charity work. We're not going there to condemn anyone, we aren't going to lecture people, said the church's spokeswoman, Karen Holmes. We're going there to be available, she said. The church group also hopes to raise awareness about sex slavery and human trafficking during the four-day event being held in September near Johannesburg. Holmes said Sexpo offers an opportunity to remind people that sex is not always sexy. The Health, Sexuality and Lifestyle Expo is thought to be the largest of its kind in Africa. Aside from the Salvation Army, it will also feature porn stars, pole dancing, hypnotists and an amateur strip show. With the end of apartheid in 1994 and the advent of a new constitution replete with rights, sex shops and strip clubs have blossomed and are found across South Africa. In April, the country's broadcasting regulator granted a local satellite television service permission to air the country's first pornography channels, despite resistance from religious and community groups. In the UK, the Archbishop of Canterbury has said that his stance against gay marriage could be seen as wicked. While the Most Reverend Justice Welby said he would stand by his decision to vote against same-sex marriage legislation, he said that opposing the move could be seen by some as akin to racism and other forms of gross and atrocious injustice. Speaking at the official opening of the Evangelical Alliance's new premises in King's Cross, London, he said that today's society had evolving views about sexuality, and many younger people thought that opposition to gay marriage was plain wrong. The Marriage Same-Sex Couples Act received royal assent in July, and gay couples in England and Wales will be able to wed at some point next year. The legislation had a tortuous passage through Parliament, with staunch opposition from many Conservative backbenchers and religious groups. The Archbishop who voted against the legislation said, "What I voted against was what seemed to me to be the rewriting the nature of marriage in a way that I have to say, within the Christian tradition and within Scripture and within our understanding, is not the right way to deal with this very important issue that were attempted to be dealt with in that bill." The bill were clearly, quite rightly, trying to deal with issues of homophobia in our society. As I said at the time in the House of Lords, the Church has not been good at dealing with homophobia. It has at times, as God's people, either implicitly or explicitly supported it, and we have to be really, really repentant about that because it is utterly and totally wrong. But that doesn't mean that redefining marriage is the right way forward. That discussion is continuing, and the Church is deeply and profoundly divided over the way forward on it. I am absolutely committed not to exclude people who have different views from me. I am absolutely committed to listening very carefully to them. If the same thing happened again, I would vote the same way as I did then. But I am continuing to think and listen very carefully as to how in our society today we respond to what is the most rapid cultural change in this area than there has been for a very long time. We have seen changes in the idea about sexuality and sexual behaviour. We have to face the fact that the vast majority of people under 35 not only think that what we're saying is incomprehensible, but also think that we're plain wrong and wicked and equate it to racism and other forms of gross and atrocious injustice. We have to be real about that. I haven't got the answer one way or the other until my mind is clear on this. I'm not going to get into the trenches. He's previously said that there's been a revolution in attitudes to homosexuality, particularly among young people, and has said that the Church of England needs to acknowledge the change in opinions. A catalogue of bizarre, novel, and sometimes downright offensive tips from vicars for achieving a better life has been uncovered by the British newspaper archive. The catalogue of quirky tips includes advice to thrash drunks, be they man, woman or child, and to lie about your new wife's cooking skills. keeping your mother's ripping tarts a secret and don't be a mug are some of the gems of wisdom offered by Britain's original agony uncles. Researchers at the British Newspaper Archive discovered the tips and hints once given by the nation's vicars. According to the Reverend A.J. Waldorn of Brixton, the key to marital bliss in 1913 was pastry-based diplomacy. In the Western Gazette, he advised, "Whatever you do, don't spoil your wedding day by telling your wife what ripping tarts your mother's makes. If a bride's puddings are not up to scratch," he says, "simply swallow the bride's pie and tell her it's a dream of delight, and then take a pill on the sly." The Reverend W.G. Roberts of Horsley St. Clements was another advocate of diplomacy for maintaining domestic harmony. His advice from 1939 was to never tell your wife you are going to be the boss, as he points out that it is a tactless remark and is fundamentally untrue. He adds that a woman who tells her husband she is going to be the boss is sillier still, as it brings the whole thing to a level of brute force. Roberts also offers tips on choosing a wife. He warns against judging a woman by her lips or nose or the quality of her dimples, highlighting that just because a woman is well-dressed, it doesn't follow that she is clever, as some stylishly dressed women are fools. One vicar made some rather unchristian suggestions in 1904, telling his parishioners to thrash the drunks to prevent suffering from softness. He argued a better solution was for a man who has a drunken neighbour to thrash him for being a scandal to the neighbourhood, and to thrash anyone in his home who drinks immoderately, whether man, woman, son or daughter. Not all of these pearls of wisdom were aimed at husbands. In 1941, R.H. Hawkins, Vicar of Dalston, warned women that a war wedding should not be taken in hand, and certainly not be based on a fear of being left on the shelf or the glamour of being the wife of being a man in uniform. The Reverend B.G. Borsier had the whole family in mind when he recommended members of a family should try at least once a year to take their holidays apart. There was, he noted, such a thing as being too much together. It is perhaps unsurprising, then, that Mr. Borsier was a bachelor. In 1935, an eccentric vicar from Derbyshire was not only offering guidance on family and religious matters, but also appears to have been a font of totally questionable hiking knowledge. The Reverend J.S. Tucker told readers of the Hull Daily Mail to avoid main roads which he believed were created by seven devils to steal the secrets of the hills. Amy Gregor, spokesman for the British Newspaper Archive, said, "The unorthodox advice given in these columns may seem odd to us now, but at the time such advice was taken quite seriously by those who read them. Until relatively recently, vicars were at the centre of nearly every community and regarded as a source of wisdom and authority. Reviewing newspaper articles from the past is a great way to track social attitudes towards gender roles, politics and popular opinion. And these articles are among the treasures to be found in the archive." Decaying herring inside the fish hold of an 89-foot trawler has created enough noxious gas with a rotting egg smell to sicken two Maine fishermen and leave one of them unconscious. Poisonous hydrogen sulfide built up in the fish hold after the Starlight trawler offloaded its herring. The first fisherman was overcome and lost consciousness while climbing down a ladder into the hold. The second became incapacitated while trying to help him. A third crew member used a breathing apparatus to rescue them. Firefighters say the rotting egg smell was strong and their equipment registered dangerous levels. Ha! If you want to try dangerous levels, you try walking into the public loo in Southwark on a Saturday night.
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you, and goodbye for now.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, the radio station of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.